Found that we are Pele Kasheni, that's what we're up to? Okay, I didn't think we got to that. Okay, just back a little bit. We mentioned last year, about a month ago, that Torah is Tchilasa Gemilas Chasadim V'Sofa Gemilas Chasadim. That and the Maral says that the beginning and the end of something is like a bracelet, is where you connect it to wherever you're connecting it to, at the beginning and the end. Torah is connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam on one side and onto Klal Yisrael on the other side. So the connection is Gemilas Chasadim. Right? In order to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you need something on both ends that is not limited, because you can't connect to something, the Rabbanu Shalom is unlimited, with a limited kind of thing. And Gemilas Chasadim is chesed by its nature, is an unlimited thing. It's beyond any boundaries. Lifting Bishura Sadin, more than you have to do. So the connection to the Rabbanu Shalom on one side and to Klal Yisrael on the other side is Gemilas Chasadim. But another idea I saw here is that the first Gemilas Chasadim is that the Ribbono Shel Olam clothed Adam and Chava. And the last one is that he buried Moshe Rabbeinu. So I think the last time we said an idea that that's what the whole Torah is. It takes a body that in the beginning is shamed and has to be covered because it's shamed, and teaches you how to take that body and make it so holy that it's so kodesh that even after the neshama leaves, only the Ribbono Shel Olam could bury it. But I saw another idea, a more simple idea. And that is that's the life of a person. You come into this world and you have to be clothed by your parents or whatever. You need chesed. And you leave this world, you need somebody else to bury you. Right? You can't clothe yourself when you come into the world. You can't bury yourself when you leave the world. So you are a necessary recipient of chesed at the beginning of the world, the winning of your life and the end of your life. So that's what it means. Torah Tchilasa Gemilas Chasadim, that the Ribbono Shel Olam clothed Adam and Chava, and at the end of the Torah is that he what's it called, buried Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what life is all about. It starts with a chesed that you need, and it ends with a chesed. So a person should want to do to other people what he needs other people do to him. Now you are by necessity, a recipient of chesed when you start life, when you end life. So all through your life you should be doing chesed for other people also. Okay, it says also over here, I saw one of the Mefarshim over here says of the Mesil Sishorim that one of the biggest chesed you can do for somebody is not give them money or support or whatever, but make them happy. Most people in this world, he says, are unhappy. They have a lot of tzoras. There are a lot of things in this world. Everybody has their portion on their plate, traveling around to a million different places. I don't even know where I am now, but in any case, it's nice to be, you know, a nice small group of familiar faces and not asking for money. even though if you want to. But you hear so much tzoras, so much things, and you know, a person thinks that they have, you know, who knows what, and they hear the things that other people have or whatever is like an unimaginable. This one is sick with this, and so part of the biggest chesed you can do for people is to make them happy, right? To cheer them up or whatever. That's sometimes people don't realize that in itself is a chesed. You think you go to a chasna, you make the chasna kala happy, or you go to Menachem Oval. But you don't have to have a special situation just to give somebody a nice word and a little chizuk. It's a tremendous, tremendous chesed. Okay, let's go on now. Hachelik habeis min hachasidus hu baofen ha'asiyah. So the first chelik was with intention, right? And he's explained what gemilus chasodim is and what chesed is. Now it's actually doing. Those two, the second idea has also two ideas in it. even though there's two general categories in this second category of what it means to be a chassid, there are many subcategories involved. Ubeis haroshim heim hayira v'yava. The two main categories in asiyah, in doing as a chassid would do, is yira sashem and ava sashem. There's chassidus in yira, and there's chassidus in ava, and in each one there are many subdivisions. Beis amudei avoda amitiim shuzulasam lo tikon klal. Without yira and ava, a person can't serve the Rabbanu Shalom. You need a combination of yira and ava to serve the Rabbanu Shalom. Most simply, you need yira to stay away from the lavim, and you need ava to do the esim. But it goes much, much deeper than that. Bichlal hayira yesh hachnoa milfonav yisborach. So yira, from the chassidus standpoint, is being humbled before the Rabbanu Shalom. Haboshes bikiru velavodaso. And to feel embarrassed when you come to do a mitzvah, to serve the Rabbanu Shalom, a person should feel very small and inadequate. The hakavod hanase el mitzvosov el shmo yisborach v'el toroso. Right? And also the opposite. How little and insignificant and inadequate you feel, at the other hand, how much the mitzvah deserves honor and glory, right? How much the Rabbanu Shalom deserves, right? A person's honor and his glory, right? And therefore, the flip side of that is, if I understand that it's serving the Rabbanu Shalom, right? It necessitates tremendous amount of honor and glory, then I feel that I'm inadequate to give that honor and glory, then I feel embarrassed. That what am I accomplishing? That's a very dangerous thing. But maybe I'm not doing up to par in my avodas Hashem. Uvichlal ha'ava, ha'simcha, ha'dveikus, v'hakina, v'yato nevorim echod echod. And avodas Hashem is that a person is very happy to do ratzon Hashem, and he feels that he wants to cleave and connect himself kibiyochel to the Rabbanu Shalom. And kina over here means not jealousy, but kina means zealousness, to be zealous in doing your avodas Hashem. That's the positive side. The negative side is the yira, where you feel inadequate, embarrassed, and that you're not up to par. On the other hand, the positive side is how much simcha and dveikus and kina you can put into your avoda, and all of that are foundations of chassidus. A person who's a chassid is going to excel in both of these areas. Hine ikra hayira hi yira saromumus. So the first he describes what yira is. It doesn't mean to fear God, right? That's the lowest level of yira, where you're afraid that you're going to, what's it called, get punished. You know, a lightning bolt's going to zap you if you do something wrong. That's the lowest level. A little bit higher than that, but it's also called yira, is where you're afraid that you won't get everything that you can get by doing service to the Rabbanu Shalom. It means you won't get your olam haba, you won't get as much schar as you could get, right? So you're not so much afraid of an onish, but you're afraid that you won't be able to achieve everything that you have the potential to achieve. It's also called yira, because it's self-concern, right? Ava is where you're selfless. You're doing it totally for the sake of the Rabbanu Shalom. Not that he needs it, but you're doing it because you feel that you have an obligation to do it, right? And it's something that is automatic, right? Why wouldn't you want to serve the Rabbanu Shalom? But then the higher level of yira, right, is not self-concern. It could be that level of yira is even higher than the level of ava. That's yira saromamus, where you are standing in awe of the Rabbanu Shalom. Shetzorech ha'odom lachshol ba'odom ispalo, o osa mitzvah. Person davens, or he's doing a mitzvah. Ki lifnei melech malchei hamlochim hu mispalo, o osa ha'maisa hu. He has to think when he's doing a maisa mitzvah, or he's davening. Davening is more easily understood. And you're standing and davening, that you're standing and davening to the Rabbanu Shalom. You're talking to him. Tana said, when you daven, right, in Brachos, know in front of whom you're davening. So that seems to be simple. Of course, you know who you're davening to, right? You don't talk on the phone and not know who you're talking to. You don't have to be told, you know, in a conversation, right? Know who you're talking to. But what does he mean to say? Sometimes we daven and we don't really feel that we're talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're davening. We're fulfilling a mitzvah. We say the words, but you don't really feel like you're talking, like it's a conversation. Feel it's a soliloquy. Right? You're saying a bunch of words and that's it. But if you'd really feel that you're standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Dalif Nei Miata Omed, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, and your mamash have the ability to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? Chaim Shmulevitz said that there are two things that he'll miss when he leaves this world, that in the next world he'd never have. The first one, he said, was seeing the simcha on a parent's face when they buy the first pair of shoes for their child. So that is not in Olam Haba, that's only in this world. The second thing, he said, is the ability to stand opposite a wall and whenever you want speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the next world, you need an invitation, or you need to make an appointment, or whatever, and you can't. And Malachim can't just go speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? It's by appointment only, or by invitation only. Same thing. And the Neshama can't just go and talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam in the next world. But in this world, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us that ability. Lo'avdo b'chol avavchem is a mitzvah to daven, but according to others, it's a reshus to daven. You have permission whenever you want to turn and speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Somebody asked me last night, I came from the airport, I went to give a shiur in the Tiv Aryeh. And one of the boys asked, well, how do you get, you know, to feel that? We were speaking over there about emunah, and it should be something that a person feels. So I told him, look, the Chofetz Chaim says that aside from when you daven, but during the day, right, you should speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Namish, like you're speaking to a friend. And the more you do it, the more you get to feel like it's real. That you can speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he listens. Right? He may not say yes, but he's listening to you. Right? Into the most mundane things. Right? Need a parking place. Ribbono Shel Olam, please give me a parking place. Right? And my experience is that it usually works. If you acknowledge the fact that you're not going to get the space unless the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to get the space, so first of all, if you don't get it, at least you'll be, you know, have a gamzul tova. That's probably the reason why not, right? But if you get it, then you have hakoras hatov, that the maisa, that you got that space not because it happened to be empty, because the Ribbono Shel Olam gave it to you. But there are other things too. Ribbono Shel Olam, that's a call. It says the minimal tefillah is Ribbono Shel Olam, right? I know that you are capable of helping me, and I really need your help, thank you. That is the minimum tefillah. And sometimes saying that, right, even if you daven, right, a woman could be his yotzei tefillah with that. But a man has to daven. So, but even if you have to daven and you have to say the right words or whatever, doing that a few times a day gives you the feeling that you're really talking to somebody. Right? That it's not, you know, a one-sided conversation. And that the Ribbono Shel Olam is listening. So that's the first thing. That you should know who you're standing in front of davening, right? Not just you're saying a bunch of words. Person needs to think about three things and consider them deeply in order to come to this year of Yiras Aromamus, to mamish feel that at least, right, a person's on a higher madrega, a real chassid always feels that all the time. When he's eating, when he's drinking, right, whatever he's doing, he feels he's in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But we're not holding by that even in the Mesillas Yesharim yet. We're holding by at least when you're davening, and at least when you're doing a mitzvah, because a mitzvah is avodas Hashem, that you're ministering to the Ribbono Shel Olam, like a king. You want to do a service, right, so the king is there, and you're doing what he asked you to do. So you're doing it in front of him. Or you're speaking to him. So how do you get that yira? First thing you have to think about is that when you're davening, or when you're doing a mitzvah, you are mamish standing and conversing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's there standing opposite you, even though you can't see him, and he's not something that you could see, but you should feel that you're in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam and you're communicating with him, and he's listening. And the truth is, it's very difficult to get the proper, to imagine properly, right, that that's what's happening. Because, and I saw in the name of Rabbi Avigdor, Miller, Avigdor Miller, that even though a person who believes the Ribbono Shel Olam has a body, right, is an apikoros according to the Rambam, surely it's not okay even according to the Ravid, who says that you're not an apikoros if you believe the Ribbono Shel Olam has a body, right? You, but he says that when you daven, you are allowed to imagine that you're standing before a throne with a king on it, and in your mind feel that you're standing in front of a person that represents the Ribbono Shel Olam. And in one place he says it's better to do that than not to feel like you're talking to yourself, like you're talking to the wall. Now, I think, even though he doesn't say it exactly like that, and it was the person who showed me this, I was very little surprised the way that he puts it through, but I think what he means is the following. It's true that the Navi sees a representation of the Ribbono Shel Olam as an old man sitting on a throne, or in the wartime as a young person, as a warrior. And that's how the Navi sees the Ribbono Shel Olam. It doesn't mean the Ribbono Shel Olam has a body. It means that the Navi is being shown something that he can relate to, that this is a symbol of the Ribbono Shel Olam's, how he's relating at this point, as a warrior, as an old man, whatever it may be. Just as much as, like in this week's Haftorah, the Ribbono Shel Olam shows the Navi a menorah. The menorah is supposed to represent wisdom, right? Or it's supposed to represent that Ruach Hashem, the spirit of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not that a menorah is the spirit of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's just the menorah is a physical representation of a concept. And understanding the menorah will help you understand that abstract concept. So too, seeing a person will give you the understanding of understanding with what midah the Ribbono Shel Olam is dealing. You see an old man sitting on a throne, so you feel this reverence of wisdom or whatever, right? That, so the Chora, since a Navi is shown these symbols, right, and that's supposed to give him an ability to relate better to what the abstract idea of the Ribbono Shel Olam is at that moment, so a person, the Chora, is allowed to also imagine a symbol, knowing, I'm not thinking that that's the Ribbono Shel Olam, but at least I have to focus my attention on something tangible so I can really feel that I'm speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because if I just speak to the wall, right, or to the air, I don't get that feeling. But if I can conjure up in my mind a symbol that symbolizes the Ribbono Shel Olam I'm talking to, even though I know that's not the Ribbono Shel Olam, I have no havamina that that's what it is, and that's also okay.
Couldn't that lead to a Avodah Zarah in the end?
If
I think the moon and the stars, and you know, I can.
It can. Except since the Ribbono Shel Olam depicts himself in that way, right? Avodah Zarah, the ego, right? They say what was different about they needed something to focus their attention on the Ribbono Shel Olam, so they made an ego. And they understood the ego was a representation of various spiritual powers. So what's so terrible? It says, the Kuzri says, we do that same thing. We bow towards an Aron Kodesh. Do we think God's in the Aron Kodesh? Right? But the Aron Kodesh is a symbol of the Torah, a symbol of the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is represented by the Torah. Okay? The only difference, he says, between bowing towards an Aron Kodesh and bowing to an Egel Hazav is, did God ordain that or not? In other words, if the Ribbono Shel Olam said, I don't want you to use as your focus the sun, the moon, the stars, totem poles, or whatever, right, or anything that you think that you're going to create as my image, that's a Avodah Zarah. But if I tell you that these things represent me, then you're allowed to deal with them and focus your attention on them. So if the Rabbanu Shlomo ordains it, it's fine. If you ordain it, it's no good. And therefore, in this situation, that's why it was a little difficult the way that it was presented, right? Because then you're creating this thing, it's not. Because the Rabbanu Shlomo uses these images to depict himself. So we have a right to imagine those kinds of images, right? Even though I know I'm not praying to what is in my mind, this man or whatever, or woman or whatever it is that you depict as who you're talking to, right? But I know that this is just a figment of my imagination, right? I'm not going to take that and make that a representation of Hashem. It's only to make it easier for me to speak to the Rabbanu Shlomo. I have to feel like I'm speaking to somebody. So that's the idea. Now, it used to be, before cell phones, that people in the airport who had a daven used to go into a phone booth, right? And so nobody would think that what are you doing in a phone booth, right? They used to take the phone off the hook and put it to their ear until they finished davening. Lechora, right, that's not a bad thing, because at least you feel that you're talking to somebody, right? That
why can't you just say the whole thing is very potent? I mean, without going to this whole thing of representation, he's talking about the way you would talk to somebody. Is you have to imagine that you're talking to somebody.
Okay, but you can imagine a somebody. That's the thing. The chiddush is you can imagine you're talking to somebody without imagining a somebody. That's the problem here. Right, I can stand against the wall and speak to the Rabbanu Shalom and not imagine anything on the other side except for the fact that I'm not talking to the wall, I'm talking to the Rabbanu Shalom. But he says that it's very difficult to do that, to stand to a wall and to talk to the wall and feel you're talking to somebody, unless you conjure up in your mind, right, that you're talking to somebody, that there's somebody opposite you who you're talking to. Right, that's the problem. You can do that.
There's a problem with it.
What? No, but how? Why are you allowed to conjure up an image and designate that as you're talking to the Rabbanu Shlomo and you conjured up that image?
You're sort of focusing on the wrong point. It's not that there's an image there that you're doing. Like you have these pictures of you, you know, everything in the background. Where the person is just blank. It's not so much that it's an image, a particular image that you're dominating to. It's just the fact that you feel that there's somebody there, and
that's exactly what Victor Miller said is very difficult. It's difficult not to have an image that you're talking to, right, and feel that you're talking to something.
It's difficult is to have just an abstract idea that I'm not, feel that there's somebody there I'm talking to. It's just like, okay, I'm talking to the Rabbanu Shlomo.
Yeah, I understand. But that's what he says is, since there's no, you can't direct your attention to something, right, it's just an abstract idea that makes it difficult to really relate to it. In other words, you can say you can relate to it, but he says that it's very difficult to relate to something abstract and to make it feel like it's real. That's all. That's what he says.
Right.
That therefore you have to feel that you're speaking to someone, not just feel, because that's abstract, but conjure up in your mind that there's somebody there listening to you. Right? And that already is an image. Right? There's a somebody. Right? You're not just talking to the air. Right? You're directed towards someone who you are speaking to, not just speaking the air, and you know somewhere up there the Rabbanu Shlomo hears you or whatever, right? But you really feel like you're standing in front of the Rabbanu Shlomo and speaking to him. For that you need, that's what the Rav Avigdor Miller says, you need to conjure up an image of something, otherwise it's too abstract.
We're going into extremes. It's something pushed in the middle. For example, if you know there's somebody there in the shadows, right, you're talking to somebody, you hear them back, and you know a person going back and forth. So you don't have to see the person, don't you? Talking to them, you're talking to somebody. It doesn't rely on a particular image. It's just knowing that you're feeling that you're talking to somebody. It's not just something intangible. It's the same thing here. You're talking to a person. There's not any particular image you're supposed to create in your mind. It's just the feeling. Okay, there's somebody there that I'm talking to, and you feel like you're talking.
I hear, but again, but. If you don't have some kind of image, something in the shadow, something, a shadow, right? But there's nothing that you're directing at your talk to except the abstract fact that the Rabbanu Shlom is listening. He says that's very difficult to really feel like you're talking to the Rabbanu Shlom. That's what he says. Yeah.
The only thing you could think up in your mind is the most chashev or prominent figure or thing you've ever seen. A king, a prime minister, a president, I don't know, some chashev or somebody, like somebody on the throne or old man on the throne.
Right.
If you do that and that's your image of what you're seeing, it takes away from a kol bidei shamayim, because you wouldn't think in your mind to, you know, call the prime minister's cell phone asking for a parking spot. You wouldn't think you can say everything.
No, not if the king is your best friend and he tells you, I want you to call me at anything that you need, please call. And you're very, very close with him. Right? And you need the parking spot. You wouldn't call him?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that he'd be insulted if you didn't call.
Not if that was my vision in my mind, when I daven, this old guy on the throne, then there's a problem with the little things and the big things.
Yeah, again, it's not that you think that is the Rabbanu Shalom. It's just to give you something to focus your attention on. That's all. In your mind. That's all. Nothing more than that. You're going too deep. Maybe that's what David's saying. Right? You're taking it to the next step. You are now, what you depict, now you're giving the qualities of the Rabbanu Shalom to that thing. That's for sure not. It's just you need some kind of image, that's all. But not that the image that you conjured up, now you'll tack onto that all the attributes that usually are associated with that image of the Rabbanu Shalom. That's for sure you can't do. That's Mamash Avodah Zarah. Right? But I just need to feel like I'm standing face to face with somebody. That somebody doesn't have to have any attributes, it just has to be a face.
But why can't you feel that without the face? Says the halacha. You want to make more money, so give ma'aser to kedad v'kadim. So you give ma'aser, and you see if you got more money. So you got more money. What's the difference? What it looks like?
No. But here we're saying there's idea. No, of yiras aromos, a feeling that you're in the presence of the Rabbanu Shalom when you're davening. It's not just that you're doing what God wants you to do, and the results will be okay. That's not what tefillah is. Tefillah is, and it comes out from the mitzvah, the same thing. But tefillah is easier to understand. I have to feel mamash like I'm standing in front of the Rabbanu Shalom. And not just that I'm doing what he wants me to do, and he'll respond. You know, it's like faxing him. It's not faxing. You are mamash standing there, and the Rabbanu Shalom is opposite you. That's very difficult unless you put up some kind of image. That's what he's saying. Amna mishu bal seichel nachom, kimat his bonus v'sima slei yuchal ikbo belibo amita satover. Somebody who's a little bit intelligent can instill in his heart that feeling, right, that his mom is standing in front of the Rabbanu Shalom. Eichu bo v'nosei v'nosei mamash yemiyas baruch. And when he's davening, he is conversing nosei v'nosei. It's a give and take with the Rabbanu Shalom, just like you're conversing with somebody else. Ulefanavu mischanein, he's begging from him, not begging of him, but begging from him in front of him. Umeito mevakesh. And the Rabbanu Shalom is listening. He's hearing what you're saying. Not just that he'll, you know, digest it integrate it and the result will come. No, you're mamish talking and the Rabbanu Shalom is listening to you. Right? He's listening to you specifically, even though there's a million other people davening at the same time, but he's listening to you specifically and to each of those million people specifically. Kashiyadaber ish al reyehu, just like a person speaks to his friend, reyehu machshiv shomei alav, right? And then his friend listens. It's a personal conversation. The achas sheik b'zeh b'daito, okay. Sorah she is bone and aramusa is bar. Once you start with that, and you feel that your mom is speaking to the Rabbanu Shalom, now you can start to think. I mean, I'm speaking to the Rabbanu Shalom. The Rabbanu Shalom is speaking to me personally. Who is he? Right? He's infinite. Right, totally. What's it called? Beyond imagination. Right. Ashumarumam v'niskav al kol brocha v'sehila al kol mina shleimu shetucha machshavoseinu ledamus v'lahavin. And now you can take that the next step. So if I'm speaking to the Rabbanu Shalom is beyond comprehension. He is beyond limitations, and I'm speaking to him. That's pretty scary. Right. So that is what's it called? That is the first shlav in reaching this Yiras HaRamos. First, to feel that you have a personal connection with God. If you don't have that personal connection, then there's nothing really to be awe-inspired or struck with. Because the Rosh is up there somewhere, you know, it has nothing really to do with me. So I can't really feel, right, that awesomeness of who I'm speaking to. On the other hand, once you pass that, that your mamish feel is personal, now who do I have a personal relationship, right? The creator of the world. That's pretty awesome, right? Pretty intimidating. That's the second shlav in Yiras HaRamos. Okay, we'll continue next week.